Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller is here, and the General Services Administration dealing with an interagency squabble on the office supply strategic sourcing contract, and Jason writing about it inside the reporter's notebook. Who is GSA unhappy with, Jason, and why so?
Well, I think it's less about the who and it's the why on this one. And then the why is because there was actually their disagreement with the Small Business Administration came kind of public over their, meaning GSA's, analysis over the justification for contract consolidation under the Office Supplies 3 contract. Let me just give a little bit of background so people understand what we're talking about. GSA put out an RFP back into February timeframe for what they call Office Supplies 3. This is under the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative. Office Supplies 2 was fairly successful in their eyes, saved over $300 million. They said, okay, let's put out version 3. As soon as they put that RFP out, it got protested. There were 14 at one point pre-award protests before the GAO. And part of the GAO's research analysis of these protests is to ask the Small Business Administration, because by statute that is their job, to do an analysis of whether GSA, or in this case, it could be any agency, but in this case GSA, looked at the negative implications or impacts that OS3 could have on small businesses, because it's considered, and did they consider it, a consolidation of requirements, a consolidation of contracts. And what SBA found was that GSA's analysis was inadequate. Now, usually that's done behind the scenes. You and me as reporters don't know about it. Usually the vendors maybe heard something, but they don't know about it. But because this was part of a protest, we all heard about it, and then it was given to us in the press, and we wrote about it because it's interesting. And what GSA did was, and this is why this is funny, and again, this is not a ha-ha funny, let me tell you a joke type of funny, but this is from the realm of really kind of funny. And GSA wrote to GAO saying, we don't appreciate this being played out publicly. Can you please tell the protesters to cease and desist? They actually requested a cease and desist letter from GAO to the protesters. Now, we have a whole link to the conversation on federalnewsradio.com, so you could read the chain of emails for yourself. But basically what GSA said is, protester K-Paul filed a protest with GAO and is now asking federal agencies to end their participation in the subject/contract procurement without waiting for a decision from GAO. GSA submits that this correspondence is highly improper during the pendency of this protest. Now, this comes from Christine Nowelday, who's the Assistant General Counsel for GSA. Now, she writes to Catherine Ryback, who's over at GAO, and Jonathan Kang, who writes back, he's the Assistant General Counsel. And he basically said, what? You want us to do what?
Is this thing on?
Almost, yeah. And basically, Jonathan Kang writes, says, there is no protective order for protests, and therefore no restrictions on the party's ability to share documents and information. With regard to your concerns about our correspondence by the protesters with other government agencies, that is a matter outside of our jurisdiction. Our rules do not contemplate that we may restrict the ability of parties to a protest to correspond with other government services. Basically, they're saying, go away.
Yeah.
Your cease and desist letter is silly, and there's nothing I can do about it, even if I wanted to.
Right.
And I think that in itself is just so outrageous to ask for a cease and desist letter, because basically they're saying they're upset that their information is being leaked to the press or being talked about publicly in a forum like LinkedIn.
It seems a little bizarre. One of the things that I wondered about throughout OS2, you reported a lot of unhappiness with the small business aspect in the small business community with the idea of OS2 in the first place, and then later on with the execution of it. Do you have a sense that that might be what's playing out here? That
absolutely,
we're in the third generation of this, and it looks like they're really going to keep doing this forever and ever. And the small businesses are going, wait a minute, this is really bad for us.
I think that small businesses missed, a lot of them that didn't get on OS2 look back at that now and go, well, we dropped the ball. We're not aggressive enough. And I think that what's happening now is that these small businesses are saying, we got to be more aggressive on this because OS2 was bad for us because if we didn't get on the contract. If you got on the contract, you did quite well. GSA and OFPP, and then this is really a White House initiative, has suggested that small businesses on the OS2 contract won something like 76% of all deals under the contract. And that's, a few hundred million dollars have gone through that contract, if not, few hundred millions of dollars. So small businesses who are now not going to compete for, who are not on OS2 but feel like they want to compete for OS3 are looking at this going, how is this not a bundle or at least a contract consolidation of requirements? And if we don't get on this, this is really going to harm us. And did GSA, in their case, really look at the negative impacts of OS 3? And when they did, when they asked them about it, what happened in the end was the justification was not adequate, according to SBA, whose job it is under the Small Business Jobs Act to review bundling and other consolidations.
A lot of these contracts are turning more and more into high-stakes deals where if you make it, you'll do okay, and if you don't make it, you're really in rough shape, and it'll be interesting to see how these play out. What happens next with the OS3 protest?
Well, right now, GAO is still, as they said in the letters back to GSA, that they're still in that 100-day period, that they're still reviewing. They're going to take into account SBA's analysis. You know, GAO could come back and say, despite what SBA says, we feel like there's the protest, we're going to deny it or dismiss it because we feel like GSA was in the right. Now, GAO could come back as well and say, you know what, based on what SBA said, based on our own research, we're going to sustain the protest, and we need GSA to at least go back and do a small business analysis to look at the negative impacts. And at that point, that's when the small businesses need to decide, okay, what is their next step? Now, GSA could not listen to GAO and go forward anyways, but I think if that happens, and again, GAO is just making a recommendation, a very strong one, I think you will see Congress get involved. I know after hearing Emily Murphy, the counsel for the House Small Business Committee, speak last week at the ACT-IAC event on small business, she is not a big fan of the strategic sourcing initiative the way it's being done now and has some serious concerns. And I think she would, let's just say her boss, Chairman Graves, would definitely make a stink over this if GSA decides not to listen to GAO's recommendation. But let's just be clear, no decisions made yet. No one really knows which side GAO will come down on.
We'll look forward to having you keep an eye on that for us. Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller goes inside the reporter's notebook every other week, and he's here talking about that column that's posted now on federalnewsradio.com. Some people on the move in the IT community in the federal government, would you run down those for us?
Sure. I think the two that I'll point out to is, number one, Rob Carey, former Principal Deputy CIO DOD. He landed. He's going to be the Vice President and General Manager for Cybersecurity at CSC.
Okay.
I think that's a good move for him in many regards. As he told me by email, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a way to really help out on national security. And I think cyber is something that he's very passionate about. He, you know, if you remember, he spent a little bit of time with the Navy cyber fleet. And then he also spent a number of years working within the CIO Council's Information Security Subcommittee. So I think that's a passion for him. The other one that was interesting is Paul Brubaker. He works in the Chief Management Office at DOD. He's the Director of Planning and Performance Management, and he announced on Friday that he's leaving government to work in the private sector. He did not say where he was going, but based on his email to staff, it definitely insinuates that he has a job somewhere.
Yes.
And Paul's one of those guys, you know, if you've never heard him speak or been on a panel with him, which I got the pleasure of doing about twice in the last 3 or 4 months, the stuff that comes out of his mind is fast and furious.
His brain doesn't stop.
His brain does not stop. Smart guy. You know, he's one of the father's brothers, if you will, of Klinger Cohen Act. His name's not Klinger Cohen, but
he's one of the architects, though.
Exactly.
He's behind the scenes, really instrumental in
so
that.
He's passionate about transforming government. And as he said in his email, listen, if I can do this, if I can continue to work at this transformation level, then I can feel good about myself whether I'm in government or out. The other two I'll mention real quick is Todd Grahams, the former VA chief financial officer and chief of staff at the IRS most recently. He landed at Deloitte. And then our buddy Mark Forman.
Yes.
He's jumping back into the fray in the big company world. He got a job at Task, working on cloud and IT services and such. Again, something he's very passionate about as well. So it's interesting to see all the movers and shakers that's happening. And it'll be interesting to see where Paul, what company he does finally land at, and obviously how Rob Carey does within CSC.
The Brubaker move was the one of those that surprised me the most, I guess, because there are two reasons. First of all, I didn't have any inkling that he was interested in moving out of that position. Second of all, that's the third major departure now at the very top of the chief management office at the Pentagon in the last several months. Dave Wennergren left as the
he's been gone almost a year,
deputy.
Though.
Well, okay. All right. Yeah. That's fair.
It's really Beth.
And then Beth McGrath leaving as the DCMO, and now Paul. And nobody believes that Kevin Scheid isn't doing a good job. I hear terrific things about him. But there's been a really big transition in leadership at that office.
I think my feeling is, and I've not talked to Paul Brubaker about this, is he was a little frustrated by the rate of movement. I think that he wants to move fast. He wants to get things done. And DOD is a big agency. He's worked there before. He understands the challenges there. And I think that, you know, the older you get, the more you want to move, the less time you have in the world, so to speak. So I think maybe he just got a little frustrated and said, well, if I can affect some change from the outside, I'll do that as well. And I think, you know, he's someone who's come in, gone out of government over his career. And, you know, don't be surprised if this isn't the last time he's back in government and leaves government.